So just as we went on the air, news is coming out of the Strait of, feeding into our main story this morning. Strait of Hormuz is the main focus of the war now. Iran just hit three vessels. We don't know what kind. We don't know who they belong to.
We do know. Two bulk tankers and a cargo ship.
Do we know who they're flagged to?
Not yet, but one was hit in Omani waters and two in Emirati waters.
And also the other big breaking news is the new inflation numbers are out. No big deal. I don't think we're going to see the effect of the war yet because the war hadn't begun. This is for the month of February. Inflation for February, is which obviously was before the war, is steady at about 2.4%. Not usually a very bad number, but gas prices were already rising. By the way, I checked the markets right before we went on the air, John. Oil futures are bouncing back up early today, and also looks like it's going to be a down day, not a crash on the stock on the stock exchanges. We'll see. So it looks like the insiders in the administration, the smart ones, are calling the Strait of Hormuz their Death Valley, thus the name of today's episode. They're saying it's basically a no-win situation where basically all the ships are either stuck or, as Trump suggests, they grow some balls and try to run the strait. Why would they do that? Their bosses won't let them. Or the U.S. Navy has to go in there and risk its own assets. It's a no-win situation. The CNN, although this is not a very reliable report, claims that Iran has already begun laying mines in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. says it's destroyed about a dozen or more mine layers, but the Iranians still have a lot of ability with small boats and mine layers. So it could feasibly lay hundreds of mines. Basically it's an economic war now, John. It's drones are hitting Dubai International Airport, the world's busiest international airport. The Joint Military Command in Iran now says it's going to start targeting banks and financial institutions in the Middle East.
You can't say you're shocked because the Iranians have been warning everybody for weeks now, stop fucking with us or we're going to close the Strait of Hormuz and just paralyze the global economy.
And yet it does look like some people were surprised and they're the planners inside the administration. I mean, the New York Times and the Washington Post are reporting today that, they're kind of surprised that the Iranians are being so spicy this time. John, if you've been at the agency, isn't it like normal to look at your adversary, at conflicts from your adversary's point of view and like from the Iranians' point of view, right? I mean, they know that this will keep happening, right? Like, especially with the Israelis involved. John, tell me if I'm wrong and then I'll just throw it to you.
No, you're 100% right. In fact, the job of the analyst is to ask what if, and then come up with the analysis. That's your job. Your job is supposed to always have a paper ready to go. What if Iran closes the Strait of Hormuz? Iran blows up another American embassy? You know, something that can just be pulled right off the shelf.
I mean, it looks to be like, so with the Iranians on board, right, we're kind of whenever you have a partner, you always risk making their mistakes that you wouldn't have made yourself.
Yeah.
But the Israeli approach to Gaza for years has been this horrible term, like mowing the lawn, right? Like go in every few years and bomb the crap out of stuff to degrade Hamas and their ability to function properly, effectively. I think that's kind of what they had in mind for Iran. And they did that, already twice, with the assassination of Soleimani and then last year with the 12-day war. And I think they were just thinking, we'll go in every now and then and do this. But the Iranians are like, we can't have that. We can't live that way. We're not going to allow that. Killed our supreme leader. Domestically, our politics won't tolerate it. This is existential for them. That's obvious to me. Why wouldn't it be obvious?
Clear. Crystal clear, Ted. I don't get it either. I retract that. I get it. I'm sure that the analysis is still being done, whether it's at CIA or DIA or the Pentagon or wherever. I think that the White House is just ignoring it. They made a policy decision. It was not based on the analysis or the intelligence.
As usual.
And they're just going with their policy decision.
So basically what we're reading now is that in terms of the economic war, oil prices are, you know, they're expecting a bounce, but they think that as long as things start to settle down within a month, that basically they'll be okay and they'll be able to ride things through to the midterm elections, which, by the way, are already not looking good for them. Is that, I mean, how, I don't know how realistic that is. And also, don't Iranians read newspapers too?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Can't they just be like, oh, well, we just have to hold on?
To give you an idea of the political situation for Republicans right now too, we didn't have a chance yesterday to talk about this, but a Republican congressman from California quit the Republican Party yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said he'll continue to caucus with Republicans for the rest of the year, but he is now a registered independent. He is no longer a Republican member of Congress.
He blamed
that is a huge deal. Now, every once in a while, a Democrat will do that. They'll switch to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. It's highly unusual for a Republican to quit the Republican Party.
That's true. And what do you, I mean, do you make that like, I mean, he blamed redistricting. Do you think that's right? Or do you think it's just like this, a guy, in, this guy knows how to read polls?
In part, and in part, I think that he's thinking, what is happening at the White House? Why are they not listening to anybody who has to face re-election? And I'm just seeing that we just bombed the Armenian corridor, quarter in Tehran. Why in the world would we do that?
Well, the reports have been like, I'm glad you brought that up, John, because the reports of civilian damage in infrastructure in Tehran are coming in a scattered way because the internet's down, right? And it's the Iranians. I've been there somewhere in my photos. I have like a screenshot of like, you know, being in Iran when it was like, you can't access this website, right? And it's like in Farsi. So they do that in times like this because they don't want to be hacked. They don't want another Stuxnet virus or anything like that. But also they're sort of putting the kibosh on the Israeli spies who were there and, you know, basically, but also, you know, it may have been bombed. Some of the infrastructure may have just been bombed, but it sounds like a lot of the reports, even in the New York Times, which are not normally very flowery, say that that Tehran is really being very screwed up and that mm-hmm. the people are living in a state of total terror.
You know, I heard yesterday that much of the bombing in Tehran is in residential areas, which the Israelis do all the time. All you have to do is look at Beirut and the southern Beirut suburbs. The only purpose to bombing civilian areas is to kill people. That's it. There's no military reason why you would bomb civilian targets other than to kill as many human beings as possible.
And but they're not going to kill 92 million Iranians, right?
No.
So like they, I mean,
but you can frighten 92 million Iranians.
Yeah, but isn't that just basically, isn't that kind of era total war approach just going to push Iranians closer to the their government? Which by the way wasn't that popular going into all this.
No, but people rally around their governments even when they're unpopular when they feel attacked as a whole. Look at 9/11 and George W. Bush's 90% approval rating after 9/11. People rally to their leaders.
9 months after Bush v. Gore, you know, I remember the polls showed that like 48% of Americans didn't even think Bush was the legitimate president of the United States in early 2001.
That's right.
91% approval, just like that. And that's, you know, and frankly, 9/11 was nothing compared to, the kind of attack that Tehran is suffering right now, you know, night after night after night, day after day.
With
two heavily armed military forces after them. Why do the Iranians want to kill civilians? I mean, what's their thinking there?
The Iranians or the Israelis?
Sorry, the Israelis.
Yeah, the Israelis. I think that it's, God. This is something I'll tell myself in my head. I've never vocalized before. I think that the Israelis so hate Muslims that they just want to kill as many as possible. You know, so I say all the time, the reason we saw dancing Israelis in the streets of New York after 9/11 is because they knew what this attack on the World Trade Center meant. They knew that it meant that the United States would go to war and would kill as many Muslims as possible. And then over the next 25 years, we killed 2 million Muslims. And so I think that they do the same thing.
I mean, I just don't see how that serves Israeli national interests, but
I agree. I think it's, I think it's counter to Israeli interests.
Want to support the show with style? Go to deprogram.live and check out our merch. That's deprogram.live, or check out the description below. Thanks for watching. So, John, the administration is basically it looks like they're looking for an off ramp. And it looks like they kind of like want to be like, well, we're going to declare victory and just say we're done. But the Iranians get a vote here, right? I mean, if you're the Iranians, don't you just keep going?
Absolutely. Like we said, what, a week ago, Ted, maybe now it's a little bit more than a week ago. For the Americans and the Israelis to win, there has to be utter complete regime change, and not just regime change, but a new pro-American and probably pro-Israeli regime needs to be installed. All the Iranians need to do to win is to survive. That's it.
And they, oh, by the way, there's a report that Ayatollah Khamenei Jr., he was injured in the attack that killed his father.
Ooh,
his legs were hurt, but he's generally okay.
Wow, right.
All the signs I see are of defiance. By the way, have you seen any of the propaganda videos coming out from Iran? I wish I'd run some of them tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're kind of amazing. So a lot of them are generated by AI, but there's a version of there's one video that's purportedly released by the Revolutionary Guards that has, it's basically set to the tune of "These Boots Are Meant for Walking" by Nancy Sinatra. And it shows like Iranian missiles, you know, streaming towards Israel and Netanyahu running. There's a weird Lego video where basically it shows the bombing of the school and like a Quds force or some like dude like really angry, and then like the revenge rains down on Israel. The cyber war is also a really interesting aspect of this. I mean, you know, do you think this is something that like the CIA would have been interested in? Is interested in now?
Yes.
Propaganda. Definitely.
Yeah, propaganda. You know, when I first started at the CIA, I entered on duty, EOD'd with a guy. He asked me what I was going to work on, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to leadership analysis. How about you?" He said, "I'm going to propaganda and covert action." I said, "That sounds kind of cool."
Totally.
And he said, "Yeah, I mean, there was still the Soviet Union." See, I'm dating myself. There was still the Soviet Union when I got hired. So he was doing anti-Soviet propaganda. So it's not like it's something new. I mean, they've had groups at the CIA doing this, and not just against the Soviets, for decades. So yeah, definitely it would be part of the what's called Persia House. I hate that term.
Why is it called that?
Oh, they thought it would be cute. Back when I was still there, they created Russia House, then Iraq House, now Persia House. I don't know. It's silliness.